Good morning. As we read the account of the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, have you ever noticed the very first thing that is said about those Christians after they were baptized into Christ? What's the very first thing that is said about them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42? That they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We find that they began well, and they continued doing what was right. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't get off to a good start and then soon after that quit and leave the faith. The very first thing that is said about them is the thing that I want to talk about this morning, and that is the importance of just simply continuing to do what God wants us to do. In fact, twice it is said in verse 42 and then later in verse 46, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord. Twice in the text, Luke records through the Holy Spirit, they continued steadfastly. Notice that in verse 42 and in verse 46. We need to continue being faithful. And that might go without saying, or that might be something that would seem basic to us, but we live in an age where the devil and the world wants us to stop doing what we need to do. We live in an age where the spirit or the attitude is, for example, try something new. We've seen this a lot in advertising. There will be products that we've used around the house for years. My mother used Tide for years. It works great. But they'll come along and they'll repackage it and put it in a different box, and they'll put new and improved just to make you go out and buy it. Number one, it's probably not much different than the old Tide. And number two, the old Tide worked fine. There's really not much improvement. When it gets closed clean, why do you need to change? But just the word new on something will get people to go out and buy it because, you know, we don't want to be just the same old, same old. We want something new and improved. And that really is very popular today, and it gets a lot of people. Turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, and there you will see that when Paul was in Athens, and when he was trying to talk with the philosophers there, the Stoics and the Epicureans on Mars Hill, that Luke records that they would come together, and what they wanted to do was to tell or hear some new thing. That was popular among them. And they would gather there in the Areopagus, and they would gather there in the buildings, and let me tell you some new philosophy. And that was exciting to them. And that was something that was important to them. And so, new, just hearing the word and the idea, it attracts people. I think about Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6. He said, seek the old paths. Just following God's word. Go back to God's word. Well, no, that's old and boring. You know, that's for my grandparents. That's the church of my grandparents, you see. I want something new and contemporary. You'll see this a lot on church signs today, and we've seen it in the past 15 to 20 years, where there'll be a traditional service at 9 o'clock, and then the contemporary service at 10 o'clock. So the word contemporary means new and upbeat, and that's going to be, you know, where the young people are and the youth, and the old people, they go to the traditional service, and we're going to go to the contemporary service. There's going to be newer things and things that are more fun there. Nobody asks, is it authorized or not? But it's just new. It's different. We just simply need to continue doing what God wants us to do. I think about how the idea today is just be different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, some wanted to teach another Jesus or a different spirit or a different doctrine. In Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 9, some wanted to teach a different or another gospel. They didn't completely get rid of the old one. They just modified it. They made it different in a little bit. And that's what we see even today. You'll see marketing of various products, cell phones and other kinds of things. What do? We just change it just a little bit, make it different. Make it a little bit thinner, make it a little bit wider, make it a little bit longer, change the color of it. And we do that for a while, and that's very attractive to a lot of people. It gets people in, but really you're looking at and holding the same basic product. And we get them bigger for a while, then people get tired of that, then we make them smaller again, and then we want them bigger again, and we just go back and forth on that. And that's very popular in our marketing world. Just make it a little bit different. You look at the cars, look at the, you know, the difference between a 2013 and a 2016 or a 14 and the new models. And they'll just change the headlight. I was asking Caleb the other day about the Nissans and what's different about the latest one. He said all they did was up front, they just changed this a little bit. The body's the same. The back light's a little different. The front light is about the same, but down at the bottom they added this on there. You know, after a while, that's really all it is. It's just the same basic car. And so that appeals to a lot of people. Some just give up. Instead of continuing and doing what they're supposed to do, they just give up. Paul said that we will reap if we faint not, and that implies that some people do faint. The book of Hebrews tells us that some people give up. And so rather than continuing on, we just throw up our hands and quit. And it's just easier to go into the world and be unfaithful. And this is very popular. If you look at 2 John verse 9, some want to be progressive. We're a part of a progressive movement. We're a progressive church. Some churches will advertise in the newspaper about being a progressive church. And just the word is attractive to people. We don't want to be this old, stale, rusty, you know, church full of cobwebs and, you know, the old way of doing things. We want to be progressive. We want to be on the cutting edge. We want to be out there taking in the new ideas in religion. And so John talks about whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. The Greek word means proago. We get progress from that. To go beyond, to move forward, to go ahead, to go outside of the boundaries of God's word. And that's very appealing to a lot of people. But what God wants, God's way, is just simply to continue steadfastly in doing what he wants done. It may not be new. It may not be different. It may not be progressive. It's the old Jerusalem gospel. It's what Jeremiah calls the old paths. It's going to be poked fun of, right? It's going to be called, you know, old and traditional. But that's what God wants, just simply to continue doing what I want you to do. This morning, I'd like to look at a few things that we need to continue in. We don't need to be looking for anything new and different and progressive. We don't need to give up. We just need to continue doing what is done. Now, it may not be the latest trend. It may not be fun and exciting, but it's God's way. And we know that we're pleasing to God when we do that. Turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 9. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, Jesus is trying to encourage the apostles in a number of different areas of their life. He knows that he's about to leave them and go to the cross and then sometime later ascend back into heaven. And so really, John chapter 14 through 16 is really a whole body of teaching that is preparatory to getting them ready to just continue being disciples when he is gone. And there, it needs to be looked at in that regard. 14, 15, and 16. I'm about to leave you. Here are some things that you need to have in your lives while I'm gone. And one of them, John chapter 15 and verse 9, he had been talking about bearing fruit for the Lord. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, or continue, some versions, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall continue in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide, or continue in his love. When I leave, Some are not going to follow the commandments. Some are not going to love God and keep His commandments. Solomon even said, fear God and keep His commandments. Some are not going to do that. We just need to continue doing that. It may not be popular. It may not be the trend of today, but when God has commandments for us, we show our love to Him by keeping His commandments. We know at the end of the New Testament, some 50 or 60 years after the New Testament church began, that some brethren, their love had grown cold. And that can happen. When others are growing cold in their love, when others around us are not keeping the commandments of God, we just need to continue in Jesus' love and God's love. Abide in that. The word means to continue or remain doing and not change from that. Others around us will give up and quit. But Jesus says, don't do that. Continue in my love. That's our love for Jesus, our love for God, and showing it by keeping His word. Others around us are going to quit. You'll hear this sometimes in a marriage relationship. Someone will say, well, I just don't love her anymore. I just don't love him anymore. You'll hear that. Or I've stopped loving you. And you'll hear that. And people do that with earthly relationships and that type of thing, and people do that with God. For whatever reason, maybe they didn't work at it. Maybe they didn't try hard enough. For whatever reason, they stop loving. And the love of those will grow cold. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 24. Sometimes love grows cold because of problems and persecutions around us. And it's easier just to give up and give in than to stay faithful to the Lord. And so when Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 12 talks about this coming persecution in the Roman army surrounding Jerusalem. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Sin takes the place of love for God and His Word. Sin and troubled times and other issues going on take the place of love for God. And so, whatever it is, whether it's sin or not working hard enough to stay in love, whatever the case is, people grow cold in their love, and that includes toward God. And so we need to continue loving God and His Word and obeying that and showing that in the commandments that we keep. Turns me to Acts chapter 13. When Paul went on his first preaching trip from Antioch, he established some churches. And he comes, before he leaves Antioch to go on to Lystra and Iconium and so forth, he knows that a church is being established and he's leaving them. What is the admonition that he gives? Now, when the synagogue broke up, many Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Another thing that we need to continue in is the grace of God. God's grace, His blessing and favor that is bestowed upon us, we continue in that by living the way He wants us to live and so that He continues to bless us. Continue in the grace of God. And that church at Antioch was faithful to God, as far as we know. There was persecution later. We find that some Jews don't like the Gentiles obeying the gospel. They stir up a persecution against Paul, verse 50. There's going to be troubles around us, but they need to continue in the grace of God. There are going to be others around us who don't do that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. There will be brethren who quit and give up. And the Hebrew writer talks about those who have done despite to the Spirit of grace. We don't care about God anymore and His Son dying on the cross. And so the Hebrew writer talks about certain brethren who sin willfully. And that's discouraging to hear about that, but it's true. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse, that should be verse 29 on the overhead, Hebrews 10, 29. There are those who have trodden underfoot. He's talking about brethren who sin willfully, verse 26. Verse 29, they have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified. That's why we know it's a Christian. He had been sanctified by the blood of Jesus, but now he's sinning willfully, and it's an unholy thing, and he hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I don't care about God's grace anymore. And in Jude verse 4, there are those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, meaning we take God's way and somehow twist it and distort it into promoting sin. Some false teachers will do that with what they're teaching. They will teach things that appear to be religious, but it's actually promoting sin. But we're just going to continue in the grace of God. We're not going to despise it. We're not going to turn it into lasciviousness. We're not going to give up on it. We're just simply going to continue in the grace of God. We're not looking to change it. We're not looking to alter it. We're not looking for something new and different and progressive. We're just simply going to follow God's way. What was the very first thing that was said of the New Testament Christians? They just continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. They didn't get caught up in all of the hype and the hoopla of new and different and progressive. They just simply followed God's word. And that's the encouragement for us this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Again, when Paul leaves Antioch and goes on to Lystra and then Iconium, and he has an opportunity to go back around and encourage the brethren. Look at Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, he was there in Derbe, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium, that's earlier in chapter 14, and Antioch, that's chapter 13, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The faith here is the body of teaching of God's Word. Why, Paul? Why do that? Why go back through? Why not just leave them and never go back and see them again? Because he knows that there's going to something is going to come to test them, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. It's not going to be easy as a Christian. It's not going to be easy serving the Lord. And verse 23, the other thing that he did, not only did he encourage them, verse 22, but in verse 23, he appointed elders in every church. Those men could keep them faithful through those persecutions, through teaching and through guidance and instruction and example. So encouraging them and then appointing elders. But continue in the faith. I'm sure Paul knew, and he certainly writes about later, that some fall away from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, some shall fall away from the faith. Not everybody wants to hold to the Word of God. And we see it even among those who are close to us. We don't want to follow the New Testament pattern. We don't want to follow the New Testament teaching. And so we just fall away. And so we have friends and relatives and those that are close and that we could mention as leaving the faith for something else. Maybe a little bit of the faith and some man-made teaching. And so we know of folks that have gone to progressive churches and that type of thing. Some have left for denominationalism. Continue in the faith. That is just simply read our Bible, study our Bible, follow that. Don't be enamored by every little thing that comes down the pike and go after that. Something new, something different, something progressive. Just continue in the faith. You're probably going to be classified as old and traditional and boring and not on the cutting edge, but we just simply continue in the faith. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. That's why it's so important, this next passage, that we have good Bible classes, that we have sound Bible teaching, that we teach the young from youth to be grounded. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul talks about Jesus in verse 22 has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, through the cross, to present you holy and without blemish and unreproachable unreprovable before Him. Nothing in our life will have any reproof to it. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Be grounded and steadfast, look at it, and not moved away. That's the point. Well, hey, something new. Well, let's be moved away after that. Something different, something progressive. Let's be moved away after that. No, just follow the teaching of God's Word. And the key is to be grounded and steadfast. When a young person leaves home, they have to be grounded and steadfast, and you don't wait until the day before they leave to try to ground them and steadfast them. That's got to be early through life. And there are different changes that we make in our life. And there are different things that come upon us in life. We don't wait till the day of to say, well, we need to get grounded here pretty quick. It's not going to happen. It starts early in life. And not moved away. How would someone move us away? Hey, new, different, progressive, give up. And people go after that. But we're not going to be that way. And the reason is because of the hope of the gospel. The hope of heaven is there. But we have to stay continued in the faith in order to get that. We have to remain grounded and steadfast. And so Bible classes ground us. Good gospel preaching grounds us. Reading our Bibles at home grounds us. Parents training up their children properly grounds us. So when those times come that someone or something would try to move us away, we're not going to go after that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, of course, verse 1. Paul, through the Spirit, talks about those who are going to fall away from the faith. But look at the next part of the verse. Giving heed to seducing spirits. And there's a lot of seducing spirits out there. Attitudes, teachings. And they're seductive. And the lingo that is used, the arguments that are used, the catchphrases that are used are very seductive. And we're hearing that in our society today. When you slap on the words equal rights or human rights or a number of other things, you can get a lot of things pushed and promoted. But we're not going to be seduced by that. But some are, Paul says. Not only are there seductive teachings, but look at verse 2. There's just outright lies. Some are speaking lies. Things that are just not true. And it draws people away. We have to continue in the faith. Look at chapter 6 and verse 10. It could be money. It could be material things. And there have been those who have been lost to the world through material things. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith. And have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You simply continue in the teaching of God's Word and don't let materialism, lies, seductive teachings take you away. Be rooted and grounded and steadfast. You know, we need to continue in prayer. Jesus, on one occasion in Luke 6 and verse 12, the text says He continued all night in prayer. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. We need to continue in prayer. And this is a good admonition for us because sometimes people will refuse to pray. They'll fail to pray. When I was young, you used to see folks praying at restaurants. You hardly ever see that today. We're giving up on God. Many are quitting God. But even us as brethren need to be reminded of this because sometimes we pray, don't we? And do we get a different answer than what we would like? Well, I'm just going to quit. Do we get an opposite answer of what we would like? Do we get an answer that is different than what we want. Often that is the case. God's will and plan is different than what we want. And so what's the temptation? Well, I'm just going to quit. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Even when God gave me the opposite answer of what I wanted. Even when God told me something that I really wanted and I did not get that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he prayed over and over and over again about removing that. When God chose not to do that, then Paul just quit, right? No, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon you. I prayed three times and God did not give me what I wanted, so I just quit. No, he wrote and practiced, continue steadfastly in prayer. Even when others refuse to or fail to, or even when we get an answer that is different than what we want. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. With regard to open doors, sometimes we pray, Lord, help me to have an open door to fix something, to talk with someone about the gospel or something else. And when it doesn't happen at that moment, we just quit, right? No, we have to keep praying. One day that door will open. Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, with all praying for us also that God may open unto us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5, with regard to the widow who was to be enrolled on the regular care of the church. Look at one of her qualifications. Not a lukewarm Christian that just uses prayer like a parachute. Well, I'm in a bind, and so I'm going to pull the ripcord because I need God to save me before I hit the ground. But other times in my life, I don't pray. I just use it sort of to bail myself out. No, it's a regular thing. And look at this qualification. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. No, that's just something I do at the church building. No, regularly throughout my day and throughout my life. And so prayer. And where it hits us is, like I just mentioned, we may not get the answer that we want sometimes. Well, I'm just going to quit. No. We're going to continue because that's what God wants. And in some of the parables that Jesus teaches, God is looking for us to be that widow. Remember that in Luke 18, that widow knocking, 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 knocking. He wants to see how much we really have faith in Him and love Him. And that knocking and that knocking is that prayer. And we're going to be consistent and constant in that. And we're not going to give up. We need to be continuing in God's goodness. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, we need to be living in a way that we're going to receive God's goodness. Paul talks about the goodness and the severity of God in Romans 11, 22. Toward them that fell, severity. But toward you, them would be the Jews. But toward you, Gentiles, God's goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. Paul's talking about how that God grafts Jews and Gentiles into the same tree. His tree of people. But we have to continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach once we're in God's goodness, we're always in God's goodness. Look at the word if you continue in His goodness. And when Paul finishes this thought in chapter 11, he starts the rest of the end of the book, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, on how to live as a Christian and continue in His goodness. Others will face His severity, but we will continue. And if someone chooses to come to God, look at verse 23, and they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. The opposite is true. If someone doesn't just continue living unfaithfully, they can come to God and God will save them. It works both ways. We've got to continue living in God's goodness. You know, we need to continue in sound doctrine. This is similar to our point earlier about the faith. But what we believe and what we teach and what we follow has to be the New Testament sound doctrine. And we're not going to give in to error, not for a minute. Let's look at a few passages in Galatians chapter 2. We need to be militant, brethren, not physically, but militant to contend earnestly for the faith. I'm seeing, and if we're not careful, I'm seeing among some brethren where it just doesn't matter anymore. Let some error come into the church. It's no big deal. Multiple thoughts on a particular point, multiple ideas. It's all okay. We're cool with that. I'm seeing that. You'll see it in social media and other places. Look at Paul's attitude toward error when certain Jewish individuals wanted to change the gospel. Look at what he said in Galatians 2 and verse 5. To whom we gave place in way of subjection, no, not for an hour. That's Paul's way of saying we did not give in for an hour. We did not subject ourselves to error, not one time. Why, Paul? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. If we don't stand for truth, then these young people here this morning, they're not going to have truth. The Bible will still be out there. But if we don't stand for truth, they're going to be subjected to error and go with error. And Paul said, I'm not going to do that. So the truth might continue with you. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. We need to be reading our Bibles and watching out for our teaching. It's been brought to my attention on more than one occasion recently. And once recently, last fall, by my niece's husband who preaches in Texas, that there is a trend today among many preachers. A lot of them are younger, some of them are older, but they're not spending time in their Bibles. They're getting things off the internet, going with that, preaching that. And it was even presented to me earlier this summer when I spoke over in Dixon by the preacher there. He mentioned it as well, that what's happening on Facebook is this. Preachers are saying, I'm having trouble with such and such verse. What does it mean? Tell me what this means. Now, we've all been in a position where we're looking for help in our study and so forth, but the context of that was these people are not doing any study on their own. They just want people to give them the quick answer on things. And they go with that. And it could be wrong, but they're going to go with it. So whether laziness or something else, they're not digging in and studying themselves. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Verse 15, be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy progress may be manifest unto all. Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. And in the next letter, Paul says to him in chapter 2 and verse 15, give diligence or study to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. You spend your time studying and reading the Bible, not the internet, and learning God's word, and you continue in those things. But today we're seeing shortcuts and quick fixes, and so we are not continuing in sound doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. What Timothy had learned from a babe, he was supposed to continue in that 20 years later, 25 years later, 30 years later when he's a grown man. Look at verse 14. Continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings. It's not that you learn the Bible as a kid, but when you grow up, then you go after something different. No, Paul said just continue in that same body of teaching, not something different later in life. And that's what we're seeing today. There's probably a lot of young men out there preaching that as a babe learned the sacred writings. And in children's classes growing up, learned the sacred writings. But now it's, what are the scholars saying on the internet? Look at James chapter 1 and verse 25. And as the way the pulpit goes, that's the way the brethren will go. Unless some brethren will think for themselves and study for themselves and not go after that. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, we have to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the gospel. Look into the perfect law of the liberty. By the way, verse 25, the word look there means to look intently. It doesn't mean to take a passing glance at. A lot of times I'll be riding, ride down Memorial Boulevard. You just look over and see something keep going. That's not the word look here. This is the word look. It means to peer into, to study and look at and investigate closely. Look into the perfect law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. We have to look intently into the perfect law of liberty, not what somebody's saying on the internet, the perfect law of liberty, and then continue in that. When others are leaving it, we have to continue in that. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John 2 and verse 19. John talks about those who left them. They did not want the truth, and so they left. Let's look at that. Others around us are leaving it for newfangled ideas, and it's going to happen. It does happen. It happened in John's day. It continues to happen today, because people will not continue with just the simple New Testament teaching. That's not scholarly enough. Now look at verse 19, 1 John 2, 19. They went out from us. The they are the people of verse 18 who are teaching wrong things about Christ. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. That is, with the truth and the New Testament teaching and the New Testament church. But they went out that they might be manifest that they are not of us. And he goes on to specify in verse 23, people who would not confess that Jesus is the Son. They deny the Son and they will not confess Him. That's who that particular problem was, but it could be any error. They wouldn't continue with New Testament Christians and what the apostles taught. We're going to go out, pull a group out away from us, start a new group, start a new thought, and then here we go. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, we need to continue in our faith and love toward God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 2, 15. There is one other point I forgot I wanted to mention about brotherly love here in a minute. We'll mention that and then our lesson will come to a close. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks about the woman and her role. There are some roles she does not have. She does not have the preaching role that is given in verses 11 and 12. She does not have that role. She has other roles. We all must abide in our roles. One role she has is that of childbearing. If they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety, a godly woman who has faith and love in God, and sanctification set apart, and sobriety, seriousness. There are others who are leaving. There are others who stop having faith. There are others who stop having love. But we're going to continue in faith and love. And then last of all, brotherly love. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let the love of the brethren continue. Why say that? You stop and think about that a minute. Somebody might think, well, loving our brethren, why would we even need to be told to continue in that? Well, turn over to 1 John. I was thinking about this some time ago. I really am surprised how many times John brings up this matter of not loving your brethren. Apparently something was going on where certain brethren not only had stopped loving their brethren, but were hating their brethren. I'm not sure what happened. Something happened. I find that hard to believe. It's hard to fathom that idea, but brethren hating brethren. So let brotherly love continue, because other brethren, there's going to come a time when they don't care anymore. They can walk over you. They can use you as a doormat. They can, you know, hate you. As odd as that seems, it happens. So we have to continue loving each other, even when other brethren may not do that. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 10. It's not just once, it's several places in a relatively small book. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Something was going on where brethren were not loving each other. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? You know, it's being the question every time we have one of these shootings, Orlando, Dallas, Baton Rouge, etc. Why did it happen? Well, I've got the answer right here. Wherefore slew he him? That's the same question. Why did he slay him? That's the same question. Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. You don't like something about somebody else. I don't like the fact that my brother Abel followed God's word and offered up the correct sacrifice and I didn't. I don't like that, whether it's envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, pride. I'm going to kill him. That's why people kill. Why did he kill him? And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Well, the divine answer is given. But look at verse 13. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. We know that the world is going to hate us. We expect that, but we shouldn't get it from our brethren. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. You can expect that. That's nothing to marvel at. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You can expect it from people in the world. It shouldn't happen from those among us, is what he's saying. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? Apparently there was some problem going on where brethren hated their brethren, and they wouldn't help them. Look at verse 20 of chapter 4. It comes up again. Chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Why did John have to say that so much? Apparently there was a problem. And so it's something to continue in. And it's difficult. Peter just said, what did Peter say? Love the brotherhood. When others have stopped, when others don't care, keep doing that. Brethren, there are some things that we need to continue in, and I hope that this has encouraged us to just remain steadfast. Don't look for something new. Don't look for something different. Don't look for something progressive. Just continue in those things, and we've looked at some of them this morning, and we're pleasing to God. And the world is going to classify it as old and boring, but we're worried about being pleasing to God and not to man. So just continue in those things. And I want to encourage you to be faithful as we all encourage one another to just keep doing these things. Whether it's following God's word, God's grace, the faith, prayer, God's goodness, sound doctrine, faith and love, brotherly love, just continue doing those things. It might be unfashionable with a lot of folks, but it's what God wants. if you're subject to the invitation, if you need to begin that journey. In Acts 2:41, they were baptized into Christ and then they continued steadfastly in what God wanted. If you need to begin that by baptism, and we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?